sports talk doesn't stop on Friday.
What? You give me one good reason.
It's Saturday.
And these guys have a lot to say.
Let me talk to you.
This is Force Company.
Yadda, yadda, yadda.
Brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger, financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today with Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt.
Yeah.
On 102.5 and 106.3. The Game Nashville app.
Happy Sunday, Nashville. Forrest Company here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Again, a special Sunday edition of the show. Had Vandy football on the airwaves yesterday, so Chase McCabe, nice enough to let us come in on Sunday and recap the full college football slate from yesterday. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. Hope you had a great first week of college football so far, and we've still got more coming up.
It ain't over yet.
I hope you guys enjoyed your college football watching yesterday. It was a fun day.
The entire half of my college football experience. We'll get to that in my headline here shortly.
I mean, if you can win a game in only 30 minutes, why not?
Hey,
do it.
Servers shut down.
A desync has occurred. Nick Frazier, you get to watch some games yesterday?
I did. I woke up around like 5:30, turned on the Blackstone.
I knew you were coming with the Blackstone.
My breakfast was hand bites of French toast.
Frazier tradition.
Cream cheese, some bacon, some sausage. I mean, it was great. Eggs.
How many times have you used the Blackstone in the week that you've had it?
8 times.
In 9 days?
In 9 days.
I love it.
Yes. I have used it religiously. It's the best thing on planet Earth.
Well, we're on the subject of food, nutrition, anything different today?
Ba-da-bup, nutrition.
He beat me. I mean, I had yogurt this morning.
That was yesterday.
That's it. I just had a fruit bottom or whatever.
Frazier needs to start inviting you over on Saturday mornings.
Yeah. Wake up at 4 and come over by 5:30.
You know, I'm good. I was here till 1:45 last night with...
You mean this morning?
This morning.
Isn't that crazy? All the days run together.
It's blending together now. School's gotten going. I don't know what day it is anymore.
Who's on second? Who's on third?
Right.
Well, we should have a fun show for you. You're going to recap a lot of college football from yesterday, especially that Vanderbilt-Virginia Tech game.
How about that, Jake?
Look at the doors. Big win in overtime over the Hokies yesterday. A lot of maroon and orange fans leaving sad from the stadium yesterday. Talk about some of the other big games that we saw. Blowouts from Georgia, Miami, Penn State took care of West Virginia. And we'll also get set for week one of the NFL season. 4 days away from kicking off the new NFL year. And the Titans will play a week from today out in Chicago. So we will talk some Titans, talk some NFL. But first, let's get to our headlines. Nick Frazier, why don't you lead us off?
Yes, for the Middle Tennessee Athlete of the Week, since we didn't have one Saturday, so we'll go here for today. Evan Harwell, he is a Wilson Central High School senior defensive back wide receiver. 6'1", 165, pretty good stature there. 4'2", GPA, wow, better than mine. He was one of the team captains. His junior year highlights, he had 38 tackles, 6 pass breakups, 2 interceptions, and 1 forced fumble. It's pretty good stats. Last week in the opener versus Rossview, 2 interceptions, 4 tackles. So just, you know, keep an eye on him. Probably a star in the making, potentially. Multi-sport athlete, Harwell is on the Wilson Central track team, competes in the long jump, 100 meter, and 4x100 relay. After college, Evan plans to major in exercise science and biology. So, hey, good for him.
Yeah.
He has aspirations of working in the sports medicine field. Off the field, Evan has volunteered in, I guess, teams of numerous Wilson County sports. Does a lot of camps for kids, so forth. Works at Mount Juliet Flag Football League and on weekends as well. So, hey, congrats, Evan. You are the MTN Athlete of the Week.
I love these, but they always make me feel bad about what I did in high school.
My favorite thing is every week Frazier says, wow, a GPA is better than mine.
I mean, it was. In high school, I was like 2.75. Like,
woo! I'm excited
right
for the
2.5.
We need to find a Middle Tennessee student athlete with a worse GPA than you.
Oh.
Throw one in one week.
It's doable. I mean, I was saying college. I did graduate cum laude. We're doing all right.
Let's throw in one and just say, get your stuff together. Pick like the worst athlete of the week and be like, yeah, this guy's got a 1.5 GPA.
We're calling you out. You need to be better.
Get better.
Tutoring is available.
No. Run some steps, buddy.
But congrats to Evan, though. Middle Tennessee Athlete of the Week, does a really good job over there at Wilson Central High School. So,
yes.
But my actual headline, Boise State running back Ashton Gee,
6 touchdowns yesterday
for like 267 yards.
Unreal.
Set a single season, or not single season, but single game record for Boise State. Unbelievable. That guy, I if he's not a first round or second round draft pick, there's going to be some problems.
Well, our friend Parker Kelly and I were here yesterday. We were talking about it. Do you think he could possibly be the first running back taken?
Oh, 100%.
Off the board?
I mean, he came back to Boise State this year.
I see it.
Yeah.
I see it 100%.
There are a lot of good running backs that are coming out this year, though. Ohio State's got two of them. Judkins is probably leaving after this year, right? And then Travion Henderson, too. Donovan Edwards.
Donovan Edwards' halftime stat line yesterday was hilarious, by the way. 5 carries for 3 yards and a touchdown.
But, I mean, that is cool. Boy, I mean, I always remember back, again, I'll talk Virginia Tech in the next segment, but Tech, like 2 years ago, gave up 7 touchdowns to Israel Abanikanda at
cow.
Pitt. I think it was. It tied the all-time NCAA record.
I thought you were going to stop after Israel. I was like, wait, what?
Israel Abanikanda. He's playing somewhere in the NFL now.
Jets?
I feel like yes, I think you're right. I think I saw him playing in the preseason last week.
Yes.
But some of those college running backs, like, there are people who say the college football video game is unrealistic sometimes with, like, broken tackles and, you know, crazy things that happen.
Travis Hunter proved you wrong the other day.
Oh, my God. Oh. That catch.
Woo-hoo. I still don't know how he caught that.
Literally getting pushed out of bounds, and he's just made the play.
I'm not a fan of Colorado, but he's electric.
He is. Yeah. That's Colorado did not play well on Thursday night. Like, North Dakota State was in that game the entire way, but Travis Hunter pulled him out of it towards the end.
As much as you hate Colorado or whoever, if you do hate Colorado, they're fun to watch.
No, they are.
You can't deny that.
Fun offense.
Yes.
For sure.
Good in college football.
Connor Newt, do you have a headline?
I do. This one close to my heart, but I think it's a funny story. So, Kentucky football yesterday. I'm supposed to kick off at 6 p.m. over on SEC Network. Lightning delay. They don't kick off till 9.05 p.m. They come out, they play the first half, all that. Great game. 31-0 at halftime. Cats, go Cats. Anyways, halftime, all that. They come back out for the third quarter. Lightning, go back inside. Next thing we know, we have no idea what's going on, by the way. Matt Jones over at KSR is tweeting about it, and he says, Southern Miss is packing up the sideline. Like, we have no announcement of anything. Southern Miss is just packing up the sideline. Then a video surfaces of Mark Stoops coming back out on the field on the phone. Next thing we know, this game's called. Over. We don't know the result of the game, anything. And then, obviously, it comes out Kentucky wins via, I guess, forfeit or whatever. I'm assuming one half is considered a full game in college football.
I think that has to be the rule.
I think that is the rule. But Kentucky has played the least amount of college football in the nation and is 1-0. So go Cats. But fun story.
If you don't need the third and fourth quarter, why use it?
I think the server disconnected.
I mean, You keep a couple extra hits off of your players, too. Like
Berrion Brown with a touchdown. Brock Vandergriff looked pretty good in his debut. Threw a pick. Wasn't necessarily his fault. I believe it was Jamori Macklin, the wide receiver, tipped the ball into the defender pick. But, hey, a win is a win.
I feel like both sides are pretty happy about that result, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because neither of those teams are really getting any players hurt. And Southern Miss is going home with a fat check.
Yes. So, I mean, Southern Miss was definitely paid handsomely to play that game. And now they don't have to lose 62-0. It can just be 31. Jake Wallman, what is your headline?
It reminds
today?
Me of like Southern Miss just taking their ball and going home.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what happened.
Oh, lightning in the area?
Yep,
I guess we'll leave.
All right. We'll take our check and
I'm cool losing if you're cool winning.
My headline is Tennessee yesterday putting up 69 on Chattanooga. And Nico Iamaliava breaking a school record for most yards in a half. He looked really good. I know it's Chattanooga, but he looked really good yesterday.
Good job. Way to put that in there. I know it's Chattanooga. There you go.
Just like you know it's Southern Miss.
Yes, exactly.
We do have to say, though, Some teams did not have their way with FCS teams. So Tennessee, they did their job. They blew out an FCS team. Oregon last night. Idaho,
by the way.
Idaho almost got the ball back with like 4 minutes left with a chance to go win the game. Against Oregon, who's probably second or third in national championship odds.
Yeah, number three in the nation.
I have them winning the Big Ten.
I have them winning the national championship.
We had them winning the national championship. Us three. I felt pretty stupid with that last night, looking up at the TV and seeing 17-14, 3 minutes left. Okay.
I thought it was a misprint. Like, I thought I looked at the scoreboard wrong.
Yeah. No, I got the alert, Dylan Gabriel to Tez Johnson. And I was like, oh, it was relatively soon, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, they're going to blow them out. And then, sure enough, what was it, 24-14 was the final?
I think so.
Like that. I'm under the impression right now it's week one jitters. And they can prove me wrong next week.
But week one lies, as we know, yes, in college football and the NFL. But this can be my headline anyway. That game, Idaho jumped off sides on 4th and 7. They got the stop, but then Oregon on the next play went for it on 4th and 2 and 1, and expanded it to 10. I just couldn't get over Dylan Gabriel's stat line in a game where they were only up 3 against Idaho. He was like 41 of 49 for 380 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like, if you looked at that stat line, you would have said, oh, the Ducks are rolling. Like,
did you see Jackson Dart yesterday?
No, I didn't see a stat line.
First half, he threw like, they were up, I believe, 59-0 at
half. That's correct.
Against Furman.
Jeez.
Jackson Dart threw for like over 406 touchdowns in the first half.
Final score was 76-0. That is one team that's not showing any lies. And for
I'll be up there next week.
Right. The Blue Raiders.
The Blue Raiders.
Heading down there.
Not feeling so great.
And a little tease of that, I think MTSU is going to give them a run for their money.
We'll talk about that at 9:45.
Okay.
Yes. I believe Newt's Notes will be blue-knighted as
we see. Isn't that ironic? Look what I'm sitting next to.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Before we hit our first break, Jake Wallman has our question of the day today.
I do. So I was listening to ESPN radio earlier, and they gave a list of teams that are quote-unquote back. And obviously Texas was one of them because they're back every year.
Sam Ellinger said so.
So I was curious, what is the qualifications for, like, I guess you could say it's a blue blood team that's back, or what are the qualifications for a blue blood team to go away?
It's tough.
That is a tough one.
That's a tough one. I will think about that in the break.
Yes. We will talk about this more and give our answers coming up at 10. And if you want to text 615-737-1025, our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let us know a program that maybe you feel is back, fell off, they made their way back to the peak of college football, or a team that is no longer like a Sewanee. You know, they used to run the SEC.
Oh, yeah. The first ever SEC.
615-737-1025. Let us know. We will give our answers coming up at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. But when we come back, the big game in town yesterday, Vanderbilt taking down Virginia Tech, a dark horse team in a lot of people's eyes to make the college football playoff. Diego Pavia and the Commodores winning 34-27 in overtime and getting to 1-0 in year 4 under Clark Lee. We will talk about that coming up next. Forest Company, brought to you by LPL Financial, here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Tonight, your Nashville Sounds continue their series in Charlotte. Pre-game at 4:50.
Your sports live here on 94.9 The Fan, Sports Talk 830, and the Game Nashville app.
Hi, Gilbert Gartaris, General Manager here at Beeman Toyota. Our biggest sale of the season is happening this weekend. Join us this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday for our Labor Day weekend extravaganza. We have over 375 new Toyotas to choose from, where we're offering $1 over invoice on popular new Toyotas. Plus, we'll be giving away prizes every hour. This Labor Day weekend only, shop BeemanToyota.com. Bigger selection, better price, Beeman Toyota.
Veterans, did you know VA mortgage rates have plummeted and you can now access up to 100% of your home's equity and turn that into cash right now? Hey, it's Roger Moore, president and CEO of Loan Pronto, announcing our VA Equity Advantage program. This VA offer can get you $50,000, $70,000, $100,000 cash out with no junk fees and no hassle. With APRs in the fives, you can pay off all those credit cards, personal loans, car loans, and get one easy-to-manage payment. Veterans, we help save on average $850 per month. And listen, if you're a veteran with a current mortgage rate over 6.25%, we can do a streamlined refinance with no income verification and no appraisal, saving you hundreds a month. At Loan Pronto, we respect what you've done for our country, and we show it. Call now and ask about our special VA Equity Advantage Program. 615-499-5780. 615-499-5780. LoanPronto.com.
Equal Housing Lender. NMLS 166-1781. Subject to lender approval. NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
In any work environment, culture is the most important thing. And what makes up the culture? The people. Hey, this is General Manager Sean Fort with Cromwell Media. And we have several folks celebrating their anniversary this month. From our sales department, Jeff Kolb celebrates 13 years and Matt Saggio, 12 years. From our corporate office, Tina Jackson, 3 years. 102.5 The Game on-air personality, Big Joe on the go, Dubin, celebrates 1 year. It's actually more than that. He was here before. And Brandon Aldrich from the game programming team celebrates 1 year as well. And after a year of doing nothing, I'm proud to announce they've made it 1 month. That's right, Woody and Jim, 1 month on the all-new 93.3 FM.
Totally hits, totally Nashville.
If you're looking for a new career, reach out to us at together@cromwellmedia.com. Love what you do, love where you work.
Your sports live here
on ESPN.
102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
It's Jeff M., voice of the Nashville Sounds. Your home for Nashville Sounds baseball is 94.9 The Fan and the 94.9 The Fan app. Catch every pitch, hit, and big play in Hit City.
Sounds baseball is brought to you locally by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Cottle Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.
Forge Company, special Sunday edition here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newton, Jake Wallman, recapping a full day of college football yesterday. We'll get to the NFL coming up in hour number two as week one starts on Thursday night in Kansas City. But first, let's talk about some college football yesterday in the big game in town. You heard it right here on 102.5 The Game. Vanderbilt takes down Virginia Tech. The Commodores are 1-0, big step towards bowl eligibility, and they beat, again, I've mentioned plenty of times, I went to Virginia Tech.
No.
Grew up a Hokies fan.
No.
And I've said it that Tech fans are delusional, but this year their delusions of maybe being good were actually backed up by having 20 returning starters and having a quarterback that played really well down the stretch last year and bringing in a couple of big transfers. But man, Vandy took it to him yesterday. And even talking to my Tech friends after the game last night, they said it would have felt terrible if we dominated them and they won in a fluke way. But all the Tech fans were even saying Vandy came up and took it to us and they were the better team. They got the win in overtime 34-27.
Essentially so. I mean, the one thing that I really was paying attention to was that the Vanderbilt defense did not shy away from any competition. Like, they were bringing the house majority of the time, blitzing left and right, and Virginia Tech couldn't really just have any movement. I mean, yeah, they had one or two play actions that opened up the game, but at the same time, Vanderbilt's defense, the play calling was awesome. I thought it was top-notch.
Let me tell you, you know who the MVP on the field was yesterday?
Hmm.
Diego Bavia. He's good, man. You said this off the air, Jake. That offense fits him perfectly.
And he is the focal point. I think you could probably go back and count. There were maybe three or four plays where he was not either running, throwing, pitching. He was the quarterback, obviously, but even more so, he was so involved on every single play, and he executed it except for a fumble here or there that they did get back. He executed it to perfection yesterday.
He's legit. Yeah. I mean, you've been hyping him up.
I kept saying he was like the quarterback in Conference USA last season, last two seasons, really, just dominating the field. Like, I don't want to say he torched MTSU last year, but he played pretty well. And, like, to the point, Jake's point about the offense and how he runs it, if you put in, like, a quarterback from Vanderbilt maybe last year or 2 years ago, and a lot of those fumbled balls he had in the backfield, that would have just been, oh, I'm falling on it, we're going to the next play. Pavia actually picked it up and tried to make something out of it. If it was a positive play or back to the line of scrimmage. Like, you don't see that, in a Vanderbilt quarterback in recent years. So, like, for that being said, Pavia was able to just open up the game a little bit more. And, like, to Jake's point as well about the read options, the only problem I have with that is it's the chemistry of exchanging with the running back.
There were some issues with it yesterday.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt them all that much, but there were a couple of times where it looked like either both guys tried to take it or both guys didn't take it and the ball hit the turf. Again, Virginia Tech couldn't capitalize on it, but that will probably, we'll see that improve as the season goes on. They get Alcorn State next week, which should be a little easier tune-up for them.
FCS East.
Yes.
Yeah.
FCS East, yes. A chance for them to, you know, iron out some of those wrinkles, get themselves back on track. But, man, I thought in the past, at least the last 2 years that I've been following Vanderbilt football closely, it felt like if they were leading in a game and then kind of let it slip away, they were just done. And it's like, oh, well, they caught us. It's over. Yesterday, Virginia Tech stormed back from down 17-0, took a 27-20 lead into the fourth quarter, and it looked like Tech was going to just, you know, close it out, get out of there with a win and survive. But Pavia led them right down the field, tied the game, got them back into field goal range with a chance to win it at the end of regulation, missed the field goal, but then go to overtime and win it again. Like, that was a lot of grit from Vanderbilt that maybe we haven't seen from previous teams.
Yeah, I mean, grit, composure, however you look at it, that team did not fold, like you were saying. It is incredible to watch. It, to me, now gives me a little bit of extra energy that they might could actually punch out 6-7 wins out of this season.
Do you think they go 4-0 in non-conference?
Yeah, I do.
I think they do too.
I mean, the other three non-con games, Alcorn State and Georgia State the next 2 weeks.
Yep.
Georgia State's on the road.
That one, I think,
that's sneaky.
Toss up. Yeah.
It's sneaky. And then Ball State in October back here.
Yeah.
I feel like that should be 3 wins.
At least.
So that gets you to 4. You got to win 2 in SEC play, which they did 2 years ago.
I think they'll beat South Carolina.
I think they will win 1, maybe 2 of these 3. South Carolina, Auburn, and Kentucky.
I was going to say it if you weren't.
look at that. Yeah, I think those are the 3 most beatable teams in the SEC for Vanderbilt.
I'd say more Kentucky than Auburn. Sorry, Connor.
No. It's fair.
Diego Pavia, Jerry Kill, and Tim Beck beat Auburn last year with a New Mexico State roster.
True.
They can do it with a Vanderbilt roster. And that is why it was so perfect for them to bring Pavia over. You're running a completely new offensive scheme, but you brought in him and Eli Stowers, the tight end, who both know how to run that offense. They've been doing it for years, which is, it's perfect. And Jerry Kill, I did mention it. Jerry Kill, I don't know what it is in his special consultant to the head coach roles, but he knows how to get the most out of teams. He did it at Virginia Tech, made Justin Fuente look like a competent head coach for a year, which is not easy to do sometimes. and it looks like the changes that Clark made, taking control of the defense, calling the plays over there, and basically saying, Jerry Kill, Tim Beck, you've got the offense. Make it work.
I was just going to say that. The defensive play calling was outstanding. And CJ Taylor's a star. Like, that's an NFL-level talent.
They've got a lot of talent on defense.
They do.
Like, CJ Taylor, DeRicky Wright, and Langston Patterson all might be NFL players.
DeRicky Wright is so, like, he's so quick getting under coverage. He gets breakups so easily, it feels like.
He's so, like, long and lanky.
Yeah.
It's tough. Having those two guys at safety, it's tough to throw. Like, Tech struggled to throw the ball downfield in the first half. They got a few broken plays later on in the game. But, man, Vandy is a sneaky team. I'm not saying that they're going to go 8-4, but I think bowl eligibility is certainly a reasonable expectation after the win yesterday.
It's in the cards for sure. I mean, and going forward with Vanderbilt into the season, you have to really pay attention more, and this is what I took away from it, the penalty yards. yesterday, I think he had like 60-plus penalty yards, and on last year's average, he had like 42.5,
yeah,
which is, you know, not great. But, you know, if you can narrow that down, and like you guys are talking about their defense being kind of lights out, I mean, that's the recipe you need, is not a lot of penalty yards, a lot more turnovers, a lot more pass deflections. This, like you're saying, this team could, I think if they stay on this track, they could punch out 7 wins.
I mean, it was a no-fly zone yesterday.
Yeah.
At least in the first half. They kind of took a step back in the second half, gave it back up. But here's the thing. They got right back in the game.
Yep.
Massive breakup in overtime to seal the game. They made Kyren Drones look like silly out there at sometimes. Well, and he was a Heisman dark horse, in my opinion.
Yes, and I mentioned at halftime, it was 17-3 at that point. I said to somebody over in the press box, I said, if somebody with no knowledge of college football, you told them, watch this first half and say one of these teams is a college football playoff dark horse with a possible Heisman contender, they would have come away saying Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia. Not the other way around. Drones did look much better in the second half until he started cramping up. But Pavia, that is a difference maker for this Vanderbilt team. I think Clark Lee thought it was going to be A.J. Swan, highly recruited guy that they brought in. He turned the ball over too much. Pavia did a good job of taking what the defense gave him. Again, a couple of fumbles. That's just chemistry. But
he made up for it, though.
He did. I think that's what they've been missing, is a guy who is going to lead that offense and not hurt the team. Because last year, that was the issue. Is A.J. Swan, big arm, lots of talent, but he would make a lot of mistakes. Pavia barely made any yesterday.
Yeah. Jake, one thing you were talking about, offensive game plan. One guy that really impressed me, besides Diego Pavia, Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, Cedric Alexander, like, they didn't run the ball very well last year. The offensive line looked a lot better yesterday. That Virginia Tech defensive line is solid. They've got two NFL prospects on there. Antoine Powell Ryland, who I believe was second in the ACC in sacks last year, and then Anais Peebles, he transferred in from Duke, one of the biggest defensive line transfers in the country. You really didn't see them all that much. I think each of them maybe had half a sack, and that was it.
And another stat that, not to, you know, just jump in here real fast, looking at the box score from yesterday, Vandy was 5 for 5 in the red zone.
Yeah. Wow.
Efficiency.
Efficiency matters.
And that was a problem for them last year. They couldn't finish down around the goal line. When they went up 17-0, there were a lot of stunned Hokie fans in that stadium.
Some deer-eyed, quarter-eyed glasses and eyeballs looking like, whoa, what is going on here?
I was helping spot for Andrew Allegretta in the radio booth, so I had binoculars, and I was going and finding some of my family and friends who were in town, yeah. And they looked miserable at that point. Like, 17-0, I think it probably felt like it was 105 degrees in those stands, and they all looked like they wanted to be anywhere but there.
You just reminded me of a story. do you want me to tell you a story? It's completely unrelated to
this topic. Go ahead.
Okay.
So in high, what we do here.
So in high school, I was obviously on film for football. I didn't get to play. So I was the quote manager, but I was more of the film coordinator. So I believe it was my sophomore year. Obviously, we have the big pole cam in the end zone that kind of swivels. In between plays, we were in Memphis at MUS. In between plays, I saw this, for lack of a better term, attractive female walking into the student section. I zoomed in on it a little bit. Without knowing, I hit record. Long story short, that showed up in the team meeting the next day, going over film. To this day, coach has never let me forget that moment. So, kids, if you're listening, don't film random strangers at high school games.
Not at all. Nope.
Thanks, everyone.
Not at all. But Jake, to your point about Vanderbilt,
Vanderbilt,
I do have to say, you mentioned about the defensive tackles and how they only have like half a sack for Virginia Tech. Like, and that's a credit to Vanderbilt's offense, how they're able to spread the ball out. Like, it was more spread wide than it was up the middle.
Well, and I didn't even realize this until Andrew mentioned it yesterday. This offense that Tim Beck and Jerry Kill run, they don't have left and right tackles or left and right guards. It's like quick tackle, quick guard, and power tackle, power guard, something like that. And they flip them based on what the play is.
It's, like a swing tackle kind of thing?
They will flip the offensive line based on the play.
Wow.
And how they can take advantage of it.
That's
at least that is how I – correct me if I'm wrong in the text line if you know more about this, but that is how I gathered it.
Jake, I did read something about this in Athlon's preseason magazine.
Yeah.
It's really the first offense of its kind. Like, I don't think a lot of teams have – I don't think a lot of teams, if anybody, has ever done something like this.
Maybe Jerry Kill needs to go talk to J.C. Latham.
Maybe.
He's just flipping for a season, for a career. They're doing it back and forth one day at a time,
can
or one play at a time.
Please get a Bill Callahan, Jerry Kill
tandem.
I am curious, though. You guys make a good point about this. Like, how much influence does Brian Callahan have with Clark Lee? Because they are buds. Like, they are friends. I want to know how much, like, you know, advice he's probably giving them about, you know, I know college football and NFL is a little different, but still, it's X's and O's.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good point. And I'm happy for Clark. I mean, Vanderbilt grad, and clearly has shown that he can coach at the highest level. He was a great defensive coordinator at Notre Dame. And I think he's got to be happy to be back calling the defense for Vandy this year. I think that's kind of in his element, is to be the guy hands-on instead of the CEO. And now Jerry Kill can kind of jump in and handle some of the other stuff. So big win for Vanderbilt. I'm sure we'll touch back on it throughout the show. But when we come back, we will hit some of the other big games from week one. Georgia blows out Clemson. Penn State beats West Virginia. Miami blows out Florida. And a fun one between Notre Dame and Texas A&M yesterday as well. We'll get to that next here on Four's Company special Sunday edition here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Can this young quarterback be Patrick Mahomes?
Sports. They need to identify somebody at edge rusher.
How deep in their bag can they go in regards to their passing game?
Here. Just be noticed in a positive way that, you know, they talk about you in week two.
Sports live here on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Hey, Robbie Stanley here, and you've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Well, we've got something a little bit different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. So maybe you're like me, and you like the Green Bay Packers, and you want to watch it. You're going to want to take advantage of this. Just visit FanDuel.com/Rob to download America's number one sportsbook. Once again, that's FanDuel.com/Rob. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line today at 1-800-889-9789.
Get ready for the ultimate racing showdown at Duck River Raceway Park this Sunday, September 1st. It's the Sam Pugh Memorial Homecoming, featuring the super late models battling it out for a massive $6,000 prize. Feel the roar of the engines with Dwarf, Factory Stock, Mini Cup, and more. Join us as we honor the legacy of Sam Pugh.
Four's Company special Sunday edition here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newton, Jake Wallman recapping a full day of college football yesterday. We'll get to the NFL coming up in hour number two as week one starts on Thursday night in Kansas City. But first, let's talk about some college football yesterday in the big game in town. You heard it right here on 102.5 The Game. Vanderbilt takes down Virginia Tech. The Commodores are 1-0. Big step towards bowl eligibility. And they beat, again, I've mentioned plenty of times, I went to Virginia Tech.
No.
Grew up a Hokies fan.
No.
And I've said it that Tech fans are delusional, but this year their delusions of maybe being good were actually backed up by having 20 returning starters and having a quarterback that played really well down the stretch last year and bringing in a couple of big transfers. But man, Vandy took it to him yesterday. And even talking to my Tech friends after the game last night, they said it would have felt terrible if we dominated them and they won in a fluke way. But all the Tech fans were even saying, Vandy came up and took it to us, and they were the better team. They got the win in overtime, 34-27.
Essentially so. I mean, the one thing that I really was paying attention to was that the Vanderbilt defense did not shy away from any competition. Like, they were bringing the house majority of the time, blitzing left and right, and Virginia Tech couldn't really just have any movement. I mean, yeah, they had one or two play actions that opened up the game, but at the same time, Vanderbilt's defense, the play calling was awesome. I thought it was top-notch.
Let me tell you, you know who the MVP on the field was yesterday? Diego Bavia. He's good, man. You said this off the air, Jake. That offense fits him perfectly.
And he is the focal point. I think you could probably go back and count. There were maybe three or four plays where he was not either running, throwing, pitching. He was the quarterback, obviously, but even more so, he was so involved on every single play, and he executed it, except for a fumble here or there that they did get back. He executed it to perfection yesterday.
He's legit.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been hyping him up.
I kept saying he was like the quarterback in Conference USA last season, last two seasons, really, just dominating the field. Like, I don't want to say he torched MTSU last year, but he played pretty well. And, like, to the point, Jake's point about the offense and how he runs it, if you put in, like, a quarterback from Vanderbilt maybe last year or 2 years ago, and a lot of those fumbled balls he had in the backfield, that would have just been, oh, I'm falling on it, we're going to the next play. Pavia actually picked it up and tried to make something out of it. If it was a positive play or back to the line of scrimmage. Like, you don't see that, in a Vanderbilt quarterback in recent years. So, like, for that being said, Pavia was able to just open up the game a little bit more. And, like, to Jake's point as well about the read options, the only problem I have with that is it's the chemistry of exchanging with the running back.
There were some issues with it yesterday.
Yeah.
It didn't hurt them all that much, but there were a couple of times where it looked like either both guys tried to take it or both guys didn't take it and the ball hit the turf. Again, Virginia Tech couldn't capitalize on it, but that will probably, we'll see that improve as the season goes on. They get Alcorn State next week, which should be a little easier tune-up for them.
FCS East.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
FCS East. Yes. A chance for them to, you know, iron out some of those wrinkles, get themselves back on track. But, man, I thought, In the past, at least the last 2 years that I've been following Vanderbilt football closely, it felt like if they were leading in a game and then kind of let it slip away, they were just done. And it's like, oh, well, they caught us. It's over. Yesterday, Virginia Tech stormed back from down 17-0, took a 27-20 lead into the fourth quarter, and it looked like Tech was going to just, you know, close it out, get out of there with a win and survive. But Pavia led them right down the field, tied the game, got them back into field goal range with a chance to win it at the end of regulation, missed the field goal, but then go to overtime and win it again. Like, that was a lot of grit from Vanderbilt that maybe we haven't seen from previous teams.
Yeah, I mean, grit, composure, however you look at it, that team did not fold, like you were saying. It is incredible to watch. It, to me, now gives me a little bit of extra energy that they might could actually punch out 6-7 wins out of this season.
Do you think they go 4-0 in non-conference?
Yeah, I do.
I think they do too.
I mean, the other three non-con games, Alcorn State and Georgia State the next 2 weeks. Yep. Georgia State's on the road.
That one, I think,
that's sneaky.
Toss up.
Yeah. It's sneaky. And then Ball State in October back here.
Yeah.
I feel like that should be 3 wins.
At least.
So that gets you to 4. You got to win 2 in SEC play, which they did 2 years ago.
I think they'll beat South Carolina.
I think they will win 1, maybe 2 of these 3. South Carolina, Auburn, and Kentucky.
I was going to say it if you weren't.
look at that. Yeah, I think those are the 3 most beatable teams in the SEC for Vanderbilt.
I'd say more Kentucky than Auburn. Sorry, Connor.
No.
Fair. Diego Pavia, Jerry Kill, and Tim Beck beat Auburn last year with a New Mexico State roster.
True.
They can do it with a Vanderbilt roster. And that is why it was so perfect for them to bring Pavia over. You're running a completely new offensive scheme, but you brought in him and Eli Stowers, the tight end, who both know how to run that offense. They've been doing it for years, which is, it's perfect. And Jerry Kill, I did mention it. Jerry Kill, he I don't know what it is in his special consultant to the head coach roles, but he knows how to get the most out of teams. He did it at Virginia Tech, made Justin Fuente look like a competent head coach for a year, which is not easy to do sometimes. And it looks like the changes that Clark made, taking control of the defense, calling the plays over there, and basically saying, Jerry Kill, Tim Beck, you've got the offense. Make it work.
I was just going to say that. The defensive play calling was outstanding. And C.J. Taylor's a star. Like, that's an NFL-level talent.
They've got a lot of talent on defense.
They do.
Like, C.J. Taylor, DeRicky Wright, and Langston Patterson all might be NFL players.
DeRicky Wright is so, like, he's so quick getting under coverage. He gets breakups so easily, it feels like.
He's so, like, long and lanky.
Yeah.
It's tough having those two guys at safety. It's tough to throw. Like, Tech struggled to throw the ball downfield in the first half. They got a few broken plays later on in the game, but man, Vandy is a sneaky team. I'm not saying that they're going to go 8-4, but I think bowl eligibility is certainly a reasonable expectation after the win yesterday.
It's in the cards for sure. I mean, and going forward with Vanderbilt into the season, you have to really pay attention more. And this is what I took away from it: the penalty yards. Yesterday, I think they had like 60 plus penalty yards. And on last year's average, you had like 42.5,
yeah,
which is, you know, not great. But, you know, if you can narrow that down, and like you guys are talking about their defense being kind of lights out, I mean, that's the recipe you need, is not a lot of penalty yards, a lot more turnovers, a lot more pass deflections. This, like you're saying, this team could, I think if they stay on this track, they could punch out 7 wins.
I mean, it was a no-fly zone yesterday.
Yeah.
At least in the first half. They kind of took a step back in the second half, gave it back up. But here's the thing. They got right back in the game.
Yep.
Massive breakup in overtime to seal the game. They made Kyren Drones look like silly out there at sometimes. Well, and he was a Heisman dark horse, in my opinion.
Yes, and I mentioned at halftime, it was 17-3 at that point. I said to somebody over in the press box, I said, if somebody with no knowledge of college football, you told them, watch this first half and say one of these teams is a college football playoff dark horse with a possible Heisman contender, they would have come away saying Vanderbilt and Diego Pavia, yeah. Not the other way around. Drones did look much better in the second half until he started cramping up. But Pavia, that is a difference maker for this Vanderbilt team. I think Clark Lee thought it was going to be A.J. Swan, highly recruited guy that they brought in. He turned the ball over too much. Pavia did a good job of taking what the defense gave him. Again, a couple of fumbles. That's just chemistry. And
but he made up for it, though.
He did. He did. And I think that's what they've been missing, is a guy who is going to lead that offense and not hurt the team. Because last year, that was the issue. Is A.J. Swan, big arm, lots of talent, but he would make a lot of mistakes. Pavia barely made any yesterday.
Jake, one thing you were talking about, offensive game plan. One guy that really impressed me, besides Diego Pavia, Cedric Alexander.
Yeah, yeah. Cedric Alexander, like, they didn't run the ball very well last year. The offensive line looked a lot better yesterday. That Virginia Tech defensive line is solid. They've got two NFL prospects on there. Antoine Powell-Ryland, who I believe was second in the ACC in sacks last year, and then Anais Peebles, he transferred in from Duke, one of the biggest defensive line transfers in the country. You really didn't see them all that much. I think each of them maybe had half a sack, and that was it.
And another stat, just jump in here real fast. Looking at the box score from yesterday, Vandy was 5-for-5 in the red zone.
Yeah. Wow.
Efficiency.
Efficiency matters.
And that was a problem for them last year. They couldn't finish down around the goal line. When they went up 17-0, there were a lot of stunned Hokie fans in that stadium.
Some deer-eyed, quarter-eyed glasses and eyeballs looking like, whoa, what is going on here?
I was helping spot for Andrew Allegretta in the radio booth, so I had binoculars, and I was going and finding some of my family and friends who were in town, yeah. And they looked miserable at that point. Like, 17-0, I think it probably felt like it was 105 degrees in those stands, and they all looked like they wanted to be anywhere but there.
You just reminded me of a story. Do you want me to tell you a story? It's completely unrelated to this topic.
Go ahead.
Okay. So
what we do here.
So in high school, I was obviously on film for football. I didn't get to play. So I was the quote manager, but I was more of the film coordinator. So I believe it was my sophomore year. Obviously, we have the big pole cam in the end zone that kind of swivels. In between plays, we were in Memphis at MUS. In between plays, I saw this, for lack of a better term, attractive female walking into the student section. I zoomed in on it a little bit. Without knowing, I hit record. Long story short, that showed up in the team meeting the next day, going over film. To this day, coach has never let me forget that moment. So, kids, if you're listening, don't film random strangers at high school games.
Not at all. Not at all. Nope.
Thanks, everyone.
Not at all. But, Jake, to your point about Vanderbilt,
Vanderbilt,
I do have to say, you mentioned about the defensive tackles and how they only have like half a sack for Virginia Tech. Like, and that's a credit to Vanderbilt's offense, how they're able to spread the ball out. Like, it was more spread wide than it was up the middle.
Well, and I didn't even realize this until Andrew mentioned it yesterday. This offense that Tim Beck and Jerry Kill run, they don't have left and right tackles or left and right guards. It's like quick tackle, quick guard, and power tackle, power guard, something like that. And they flip them based on what the play is.
It's like a swing tackle kind of thing?
They will flip the offensive line based on the play.
Wow.
And how they can take advantage of it.
That's
at least that is how I, correct me if I'm wrong in the text line if you know more about this, but that is how I gathered it.
Jake, I did read something about this in Athlon's preseason magazine.
Yeah.
It's really the first offense of its kind. Like, I don't think a lot of teams, if anybody, has ever done something like this.
Maybe Jerry Kill needs to go talk to J.C. Latham.
Maybe.
He's just flipping for a season, for a career. They're doing it back and forth one day at a time, or one play at a time.
Please get a Bill Callahan, Jerry Kill
tandem.
I am curious, though. You guys make a good point about this. Like, how much influence does Brian Callahan have with Clark Lee? Because they are buds. Like, they are friends. I want to know how much, like, you know, advice he's probably giving them about, you know, I know college football and NFL is a little different, but still, it's X's and O's.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good point. And I'm happy for Clark. I mean, Vanderbilt grad, and clearly has shown that he can coach at the highest level. He was a great defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, and I think he's got to be happy to be back calling the defense for Vandy this year. I think that's kind of in his element, is to be the guy hands-on instead of the CEO, and now Jerry Kill can kind of jump in and handle some of the other stuff. So, big win for Vanderbilt. I'm sure we'll touch back on it throughout the show. But when we come back, we will hit some of the other big games from Week 1. Georgia blows out Clemson. Penn State beats West Virginia. Miami blows out Florida. And a fun one between Notre Dame and Texas A&M yesterday as well. We'll get to that next here on Four's Company Special Sunday Edition here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
On bended knee. Nice.
Jake Wallman, 2 for 2 on bump music so far.
Boys to men, man. I love it.
We love it. Special Sunday edition.
I'm here
company.
For the people.
Darling, I.
Somebody cut his mic.
Sports? Is that what we have?
I'm in a mood today, man. I'm telling
not,
some.
Not a singing mood.
Not as bad as. What was the song that we sang when Chase texted us to stop?
Oh, it was
Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. My Way. Chase, if you're listening, we'll keep the singing to a minimum today. Not no singing.
Oh, there's going to be singing.
But some singing.
That's part of the show.
Talking college football here. And again, special Sunday edition, not our usual time slot. We will be back in the Saturday show 9 to 11 next week, and we will get you set for another full slate of college football and the first Titans game of the year next Sunday, a week from today in Chicago. But we're talking college football right now. Week 1, not completely done. We have two more pretty big games, LSU-USC tonight, and then Boston College, Florida State tomorrow night on Labor Day. But a lot of fun matchups yesterday. Most of them turned out to be blowouts.
Such as life.
I know.
In week one.
You look at the slate and you're like, man, Georgia-Clemson could be good. Penn State-West Virginia, Miami-Florida, both those coaches really need a win. And all three of them were kind of duds. Thoughts from some of those matchups where we maybe start to see that dividing line of teams who are going to be playoff contenders and teams who may disappoint in three of those matchups between ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and then obviously the two down in the Sunshine State.
My number one takeaway from Georgia and Clemson, can we please stop the Cade Klubnik hype train?
Please. I think Tennessee started that. The stopping of the Cade Klubnik hype train.
Yeah, he's not good. I mean,
no.
I don't like to come on here and say people aren't good, but he's just not a playmaker like the national media likes to make him out to be. And I get it. Clemson's a big market, and you want to push the narrative towards Dabo Swinney and the Tigers, but he's just – Clemson just doesn't have it to me. And maybe that's the transfer portal thing that, you know, they haven't – grabbed a single guy out of the portal since it began in 18.
The only non-service academy to not bring in a transfer this year.
That's not good. That's not good at all.
Not ideal.
No.
Shape up or ship out, Dabo.
And how long does Dabo have? I mean, he's won two national championships, so I think the lease is pretty long, but...
Nah. It's not...
You don't think so?
I don't think it's as long as
No, I'm saying it is long, but I think there's an end to it. And the biggest difference for Clemson is they keep getting these highly rated recruits at quarterback, but the last two, Uiagalelei and Klubnik, didn't work out. Like, Uiagalelei was rated higher than C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young coming out of high school.
Yeah.
Wow.
And just never was the guy there. And then Klubnik hasn't panned out. The difference is when they won national championships, they had Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, who ended up being stars.
And studs at receiver.
Yes.
DeAndre Hopkins. Or no, not him. But
Hopkins was the early part of it. But yeah, Hunter Renfro, Mike Williams.
T. Higgins.
Yeah. Higgins. Was Sammy Watkins earlier?
Sammy Watkins was earlier.
Yeah.
13 or 14, I think, was Watkins.
But still, yes, they had playmakers and stars. Like, can you really think of many Clemson guys who have ended up being studs in the NFL in the last like 2 or 3 years on the offensive side of the ball, at least?
No, not really.
I mean,
since Lawrence and Higgins and ETN left.
Yeah, nobody. I don't got nothing.
And I wouldn't really consider Lawrence a stud yet.
Well, in college he was. Yeah, you can't knock that.
No, he was good in college. Yeah. But I thought we were kind of more focusing to the NFL and that question.
Guys who have ended up being highly drafted NFL guys on the offensive side, there just haven't been a ton. Like, Clemson's just not putting out the NFL talent that they used to.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know how they're going to pan out in the ACC. The ACC looked really, really weak this weekend, in my opinion.
Aside from one team that was
Miami looked
not
fantastic.
That team. Talking about another team.
Which one?
The Ponies.
The Ponies!
They're just putting up 50 points on a regular basis.
ACC powerhouse Cal came out with a big win.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Known ACC team, Cal.
I'll say this about Clemson, and I'm only going to say it once. I might actually say it twice, but once for right now. If Clemson goes 6-6, or if they go like 5-6 or 6-6, Dabo's gone. I don't care what anybody says. Dabo Swinney is gone if they go 6-6.
I feel like they give him one more year.
No.
If they do.
I think two at most. Because it kind of feels like a coach that's getting stuck in his ways.
No.
Mark Stoops.
If he goes 6-6, they don't win their bowl game, he's gone.
Like a Mark Stoops, Jimbo Fisher type situation. A coach that's getting stuck in his ways, kind of coasting right now. He's
doing just enough to keep the job.
And, you know, the boosters are not gonna fall for that.
He's holding on to whatever Venables had on defense. That's why their defense is decently solid.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I mean, then you go on offense, and he's the mastermind of bringing in guys, and like Jake just said, they're not bringing in nobody.
No.
Well, they're bringing them in. They're just not developing them as well as they used to, I guess, because they still recruit well.
Yeah. They need to attack the portal, and they will never do it.
And Dabo refuses. Doesn't want to change with the times.
Nick Saban said it best yesterday, and I cannot repeat what he said on the air, but he said it best, and I mean, if anyone knows how to dominate the college football landscape, it's Nick Saban.
So. Yeah. I mean, Nick Saban, if you asked him, hooked up to a lie detector, whether he wanted to embrace the changes of college football, I'm sure the answer is no. I'm sure Nick Saban did not want to do NIL. He didn't want to do the transfer portal. He wanted to stick to his strategy, which was recruit elite talent and develop them into stars, which is what he did for years. But he did change with the times. He brought in transfers. And Dabo, I mean, those were the two guys.
Yep.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
At the top of college football. Obviously, Saban's retired now, but like you can see the trajectory of where they've gone because of how they've handled this new era of college football.
Would you put Dabo in the top 10?
Not anymore.
All time? Or just
right now?
Right now?
No. Right now. Nope.
Off the top of my head, no.
No.
Possibly top 20.
I'd have to think about it. But, I mean, Kirby Smart's probably the best coach in the nation right now.
Yeah.
Steve Sarkisian.
Steve Sarkisian. Dan Lanning. It's funnier.
Okay. I must have missed this joke somewhere, but okay, continue.
Mike Norvell.
Okay.
Brian Kelly.
All right.
Agreed.
Kalen DeBoer.
All right.
I haven't seen how he is at Alabama.
63-0 over Western Kentucky last night.
Lane Train.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's seven.
It's a tough one.
I know. Anymore. It's tough to think.
Josh Heupel?
Josh Heupel. Yep.
Ryan Day.
Ryan Day. Ooh. One more.
Ryan what about Day. Marcus Freeman?
Yeah, that was one I was thinking too.
That's one I'm thinking of.
I think Day and Freeman would be two question marks for me because Day's kind of like for different reasons, but he's kind of in the same boat as Dabo where it's like he's just kind of not living up to.
At least he's transitioned with the times. Yes, he brought in elite talent through the portal.
He is doing the right things to have success, but the results haven't been there.
And he
I would probably lean that Day is better than Dabo right now.
Yeah.
And honestly, Marcus Freeman going into Kyle Field last night and getting a win, that's huge.
Yeah.
And listening to ESPN Radio on the way in, they were talking about their schedule, and it's like they've only got two more ranked teams on their schedule. It's USC and Florida State. Who do we really fear USC and Florida State all that much right now?
No. Nah. I mean, it depends on what happens tonight against LSU. Like, if they end up possibly beating LSU by 10 points, which I don't see that happening.
No.
But if LSU goes and blows them out by 20, then, yeah, that's not great.
I think Notre Dame, I mean, they're going to make the playoff.
Yeah.
So
they're not going to get a bye. Well,
they can't get a bye.
Sort of. They can. Because if they, obviously, they went out and make the college football playoff, they get a bye week while conference championships are
going
on.
That is true. Yeah. That is true. They don't have to play a conference championship.
And then, of course, they'll probably host a playoff game.
Yeah, in South Bend. That is a good point. I didn't think about that. They don't have to play a conference championship, so they just get the bye week a couple weeks earlier.
Odds are in their favor.
How about that, Connor?
Good point. Very good point. But I think you're right. I think Dabo, he's borderline top 10 coaches because he has two national championships. Like, you can't take that away from him.
True.
He has set the foundation to still be considered towards the top of the FBS as a head coach, but he's fallen. And I think you're right, Nick. I think if they go 7-5 this year and aren't even sniffing the college football playoff, I think there would be serious consideration.
Oh, they move on now. Like, they move on if he goes 6-6, hands down. Like,
yeah.
If you're Clemson and you don't do that, you're doing your whole entire football program a disservice.
Yeah, but it's tough to move on.
It is. Considering what he's done for that program.
Yeah.
What? Good. Yeah, they got him two national titles. They're able to celebrate about it. But if they don't move on, that program will be a bottom feeder. It will be let's schedule Clemson week one and just blow them out 34-0.
34-3.
Oh, excuse me. My bad.
Yeah, give them their credit.
They did three points on Georgia's defense. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If you want to chime in, you can text or call. And don't forget, we're going to get to our question of the day at the top of the hour. Let us know a team that you think is back in college football or a team that is no longer considered one of the elites. And what kind of what makes those two things, I guess? What makes a blue blood? And what teams could be back? We want to hear from you. We'll give our answers coming up at 10 o'clock. But coming up next, it's time for Newt's Notes here on Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Say his name and he appears. I believe in
Connor Newt. Let's see Nick Frazier break today.
In
Newt's Notes.
Cause you love them in London and Paris and Tokyo, America, Scotland.
The greatest intro in sports radio history.
I'm keeping it.
You hear it. You know what time it is. Four's Company, Newt's Notes, take it away.
All right. Newt's Notes.
Hang on. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't you dump that. Bring that back up. There we go.
I play this solely for Nick's reaction.
You play this for me because this is my segment, boy.
All right, besides that, but yeah.
All I can think about right now is the Boomer Doom along with this. And I just, it's in my head right now.
It's a double chunk chocolate cookie.
Boomer Doom, they're like old home videos have resurfaced and you see little Big Justice as a child.
I know. They've been trying to go viral for like 7 or 8 years and finally did it being the Costco guys.
Way to go, Boomer Doom. But
please continue, Connor.
I want to talk about this. MTSU. As many of you know, and if you're watching a stream, I'm wearing an MTSU shirt right now. I'm a student at MTSU. I cover a lot of their games, and last night I was producing for them. I got some thoughts. Some good, some bad. We'll start with the bad. Nick Vadiato. He looked a little uncomfortable at points last night. Very rushed, very... for lack of a better term, uncomfortable, as I just said. If they want to win, and I think they do, and I think they have the talent to do so because of the guy, 59 new players, I think is what was said. Yep. Derek Mason just attacking the portal this year. If they want to win, it begins and ends with that quarterback position, Nick Vadiato. Let me, for context, let me just summarize the game for you a little bit. Last night, MTSU, at one point up 21-0, goes into the half up 21-5, gave up a safety and a field goal. That's a scoregami, I'm sure.
21-5. I don't know. I mean, do they do halftime scoregamis? We'd have to check.
Yeah, we'd have to check. And then, of course, MTSU gives up 25 straight points. Or, no, 20 straight points. They enter the last minute down 24-25. Hand off to Frank Pezen. He runs it 30 yards for the go-ahead touchdown. MTSU wins. Nick Vadiato threw for less than 200, a touch, or maybe two touchdowns. I'd have to look at his stat line, actually.
I believe it was two touchdowns.
I think it was two. I know he threw a pick. There were just times out there he looked so uncomfortable. Just not going through his progressions, just kind of rushing a throw. The running game was not great yesterday either. They averaged, I believe, 3.5 yards a carry, which is not ideal. Had the one big run, obviously, to win it, but Pezen finished with under 50 yards rushing and a touchdown. And then, quite frankly, I think Derek Mason is too willing to settle. I think he's too willing to let up when he feels he has a good lead. They were up 21-5, all clicking on all ends on offense. Then they come out in the half, just stagnant, nothing.
You know, I don't want to put it on Derek Mason. I would honestly put it on just like the timing of the game, and
that is a factor for sure.
I don't want to put all that on Derek Mason at all. I just think the players got fatigued. The fatigue started to sit in the second half. Like they were up 21-5, and then all of a sudden, Tennessee Tech gets an interception. They go on to score a touchdown. Then they go score another touchdown. I'm like, okay, we got ourselves a ball game.
I think it can be easy to take your eye off the ball a little bit when you have been sitting around all day and you jump out to that lead. You're like, okay, we're good now. And then it's like, uh-oh.
It's 100% factor. I mean, we had the game was supposed to kick off at 6. We didn't kick off till 8:40.
Yeah.
So almost a three-hour delay. They went out to warm up 3 times. They went out, obviously, right before 6, lightning delay, come back in, and they go out at, I believe, around 7, lightning delay, go back inside, and then an hour and 40 minutes later, we're rolling.
Yeah.
But that's the bad. I think it's just working out some kinks, I think. It's a new team, new coach, new system for some of these old guys like Nick Vadiato and Frank Pezen in the running game. But on the flip side, this offense has some weapons, man.
Yeah, they do.
Amari Kelly is phenomenal. He's transferred out of Auburn, and he's just fits this offense perfectly, I feel, when they are clicking. The running game is obviously going to pick up. Frank Pezant, I believe he's an all-CUSA guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a stud. And then Kellen Stewart, young guy, but has a lot to prove. Great. Holden Willis is Coach Newt's favorite target in College Football 25.
Oh, okay.
Always open, tight end. I think he's good. And then the defense looked stellar last night.
Yeah, the front looked really good. The defensive front looked really good.
The secondary needs a little work, but
yeah,
we'll get there. This team, I think they have the potential to win 7 to 8 games.
You kind of took the words out of my mouth. I'm thinking 8 wins for this team. And, you know, there was something about this game, like going into the second half, like, man, they're up 21-5. And no disrespect to Coach Stocksell, because he did such a fine job here at MTSU. It's just, there's a new energy with Derek Mason.
It's a new vibrance.
Yeah, it's just like a refreshing feeling of, hey, yeah, this team could do something this year. Like, that's kind of how I felt going into the second half. And then when MTSU started letting in points, and I'm just like, all right, now we're back to square one where they were a year and a half ago. So
before,
I'm pretty sure it's just the chemistry thing, getting down the kinks, and, you know, you're tired.
So. Before storms hit, attendance was at a high. Like, it was popping. And there were obviously people that stuck around, a lot of students, really. But they had a party at the Grove or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was like a kickoff thing or something.
Didn't they hold a concert as well?
Yeah, it was like that. Lots of student artists. It was, according to Dylan Simmons, who's a student there.
Love Dylan Simmons.
An acquaintance of mine. We worked together on some things. He said yesterday on the air it was just packed. Like, it felt like the entire student body was there. So I love what Derek Mason is doing, because clearly he's putting more energy into promoting football and, hey, come to our games. We're doing this, this, and this, and it's a new era. Whereas, no offense to Rick Stockstill, but last year it was, there's a yard sign that says come to the game. No promotion, no nothing. I'm getting like 3 emails a day from MTSU football saying, come on down. And I love it. That's another good thing to me, is the university is behind this program.
Yeah, and fans that are, and alumni that are a part of this MTSU group, they want to be involved again.
Yeah.
Derek Mason has brought back the, I want to be involved again. Yeah. Let's come out to Murfreesboro. Let's enjoy a Saturday evening or a Saturday night.
That's the main attraction.
Yeah. At Johnny Red. Like, let's go enjoy a nice evening there.
Johnny Red.
I've always thought that MTSU, or like MTSU Murfreesboro as a whole, could be like a college football.
It's a college town.
Gym, if you want to call it that. Because it definitely is a college town. But like, so I'm from there. So like growing up, like, I mean, it was kind of like an event, but it always felt like people would be rather willing to go to Tennessee, Memphis, Knoxville, Memphis, Auburn, Alabama, Tuscaloosa to watch those bigger games.
It still will be.
And yeah,
it still will be,
but like the re-energization.
On this show, that is a word.
Any word's a
just,
word.
Just there's a revitalizing of the athletic department that I think MTSU needed.
Yes, because in years past, like as a kid when I would go to MTSU games, it felt like a Friday night high school football game on a Saturday.
Exactly.
And so now they have brought back the, this is college football. Come out here and let's enjoy the damn game.
And getting ready to head to Oxford this upcoming weekend, correct, Ole Miss?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And boy, do I think MTSU has a trick up their sleeve.
Really?
That's a trap game. I mean,
it is.
Ole Miss coming off a 77-0 blowout or something like that.
76, yes.
So yeah, just blew the doors off of whoever they played.
Furman,
the Paladins.
And to our texter's point real quick, Chris on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hot
Hot Dogs.
Yeah, that's what I meant. WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I believe you're correct. It's more of a Chris Massaro promotion move than it is coaching. I think Derek Mason has something to do with the level of promotion we're doing, but obviously athletics and administration are behind what he wants to do. So, yes, Chris, you are correct. It is more of a Chris Massaro thing. But still, there is a stark difference between the Rick Stockstill level of energy last year and the Derek Mason level of energy this year. And I love it. Let's ride with it.
And about Coach Stock, though, like, he would produce NFL talent. So let's not discredit that at all.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I believe Derek Mason Live is tonight. It's usually on Monday nights, but I believe it is, because of Labor Day weekend, it is tonight. You can listen in on 93.3 Totally Hits. Totally,
or go
Nashville
to the Boulevard.
Yes, or you can go see it live. But yes, you can listen in.
Are you signing autographs, Connor?
I will not be there because I was here till 1:45 last night.
Gotcha.
Coach Newt has to return to his newfound Oregon Ducks dynasty.
I like where your priorities at. Priorities are at.
I have things to do today.
We have a lot of great English on this show this morning.
We are State putting English on a grammar clinic in the last like 5 minutes.
My mom would be so disappointed. She's an English teacher, so or she was. So she
don't flunk me. That's all I ask.
My GPA is lower than that. Nick Frazier, 2024.
Hey, just putting it out there, 2.5 is baseline, okay? Just FYI.
Well, great Newt's notes once again from Mr. Connor Newt. And again, tune in tonight, Derek Mason Live, 93.3, Totally Hits, Totally Nashville. You can hear from Chip Walters and the head coach himself.
Tune in all season.
All season.
Every game, 93.3, Totally Hits, Totally Nashville.
Love it. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll revisit our question of the day to start off hour number two here on this special Sunday edition of Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.